Oil companies plan for 2011. Drill, baby, drill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, when we take a look at what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. If you thought the BP oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico would deter deep water drilling, think again. The oil industry will spend more than ever looking for new oil and gas wells next year. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
A new oil survey shows that spending on new wells, platforms, and drilling rigs will hit almost $500 billion next year. That's an 11% increase on 2010. This suggests confidence in the oil industry that the increase in the price of crude will hold. So extra production should be profitable. But also there's the growing cost of operating in tricky conditions. Companies will splash out even more on deep water drilling, for example. Big oil has not been deterred by BP's disaster. Dr. Clifford Jones is an energy expert at Aberdeen University.
Oil production and oil exploration won't stop. They can't, because the world needs 80 million barrels of oil a day. And that state of affairs can't be changed in response to one event, however tragic.
But the disaster is adding more cost to offshore oil exploration in the US, as drilling permits there are now harder to come by. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Pension funds in New York and Ohio are suing BP over investment losses from the Deepwater Horizon disaster. The suit accuses BP of misleading investors about the safety of drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. BP shares fell about 40% in the wake of that explosion. They've since regained about half that ground. India has become the latest country to tighten trade sanctions with Iran. The U.S. has been pushing India to do that for years. The hope is it will put pressure on Iran's nuclear program. From New Delhi, the BBC's Mark Dummidge joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So, Mark, what exactly has India agreed to do?
Well, this week, the Reserve Bank of India instructed the country's lenders to stop using the Asian Clearing Union to process payments for the import of oil and gas from Iran. And this is significant because this system, which was set up in 1974 to help trade between Iran and South Asian countries like India, means that deals between the two can go through each country's central banks, making it much harder for the US and others to trace money flows in and out of Iran. And the US says that blacklisted Iranian firms have been exploiting this system.
Why is the trading relationship between India and Iran so significant?
Well, trade between the two has been rising in recent years, and India is Iran's biggest partner by far through this system, the Asian Clearing Union. Out of a total of $900 million owed to Iran through this system in November, $800 million was owed to it by Indian firms.
Wow. Why has India made this decision now? Do we have any sense of that?
Well, no, because India hasn't given any official reason or statement on this issue. But the suspicion, of course, is that it has done so at the request of the US government. As you know, the US and India are becoming increasingly close economically, right, diplomatically, strategically, as we saw so well just last month during Barack Obama's visit to India.
That is the BBC's Mark Dummett. He joins us from New Delhi. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
It's a mixed bag for the markets this morning. A good day in Asia. Shanghai Composite Index stepped up 0.2%. Europe is mixed. London's FTSE is off 0.25%. U.S. markets were split yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.1% to close at 11,575. In spite of the snow, flights are reportedly making it into New York now. But that doesn't mean passengers are actually making it into New York. Airplanes are sitting for up to 8 hours on the tarmac. All told, the snowstorm is expected to cost airlines about $150 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
This week marks the final application deadline for a lot of colleges. And of course, applying to those colleges is not a cakewalk. Students have to write essays, get recommendations, take tests. So some parents are now hiring pros to help oversee the process. Colorado Public Radio's Zachary Barr has more.
Before hiring her, parents sometimes ask educational consultant Diane Schaefer if she can get their kid into Princeton.
We do not guarantee that students can get in places. And if a consultant is telling someone that they can do that, then that's an unethical consultant.
For a fee, Schaefer guides high school seniors through the entire college application process, from figuring out where to apply to making sure applications are sent in on time. Educational consultants like Schaefer are in high demand. When she joined a trade group of fellow consultants about 10 years ago,
there were just a handful of people. And for our membership now to swell to close to 600 is a statement about the growth of this industry.
So how much does one of these college gurus cost?
Well, I charge $4,200, and it's a two-year process.
It's impossible to know, really, whether it's worth it or not.
Nevertheless, Denver physician Bill Mangione hired Diane Schaefer. Mangione says he wanted to give his daughter, Rachel, the best chance to get into her top schools. And he wanted to keep the peace at home.
It takes the potential conflicts of deadlines out of the household and moves it somewhere else, namely between Rachel and Diane.
Rachel's grateful for her parents' decision.
I would rather not fight with my parents over college applications, and I'm more likely to listen to an expert like Diane than my mom.
Rachel's applying to 11 schools. She says thanks to Diane's help, all of her applications are finished and ready to send out on time. In Denver, I'm Zachary Barr for Marketplace.
And finally, just in case there was any doubt that the 80s are back, the top-earning rock concerts in 2010 look a lot like the top-earning rock concerts back in the days of Tab and Crimping Irons. AC/DC and Metallica were both in the top five this year. Coming in at number one, Bon Jovi. He sold more than $200 million worth of concert tickets. Now if I could just find my scrunchies and my hypercolor sweatshirt. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Can a global business survive today without securities, derivatives, or even loans?
We don't owe nothing. We don't borrow. We haven't for many, many years.
You don't borrow money for this?
I don't borrow money.
I'm Bob Moon, getting by the old-fashioned way, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.